You can be seated. We have some things in store for you today. One of those things is please take advantage of a photo spot out in the foyer that you can get with your kids and your wife and take a picture before you leave today. And then also, we have a video we're going to watch right now. And I prayed in preparation for the service, and I just asked that God would allow every man in here to leave today refreshed in His presence and to go home with something that you didn't come with, the presence of God, that would give you the strength and energy to continue to build in His kingdom. And that whenever those kids are looking on and watching you, that they would want to be like Dad in building the kingdom. Watch this video, and then the praise singers are going to come, and we're going to begin this with worship today. All right. The Bachman family is coming now, and Sister Toby wrote this skit, and she wanted me to read this. It says, the Bachman family will now perform a true-to-life skit entitled When Dad Takes the Girls to School.
Just make sure we're on. All right, girls, come on, let's go. We're going to be late. Come on. Go, go, go. We're going to miss the drop-off pickup line, and we're going to be late again.
But we were late yesterday.
Yeah, I know. We should get up earlier. Is everybody buckled in?
Yep. Hey, Dad.
Yes?
Can we play that really cool Vivaldi music that you showed us the other night?
No, I can't play the Vivaldi music right now. I can't take my eyes off the road.
All you have to do is just press the button on your phone and say, hey, Siri, play that really cool world music. It's so easy.
Fine. Hey, Siri, play Vivaldi. All right, that's enough.
Well, that was a song.
Yeah, but I got some questions for you.
What?
So, Audrey, where is Vivaldi from?
I think he's from Italy.
Yes, and what type of music is he famous for? What instrument?
Violin.
And what's his most well-known musical piece?
I think it's called, Four Seasons.
Yes. Hey, Maddie, what are you going to do at school today?
I'm going to play on the playground and do school.
Anything else?
No.
I'm glad we're paying all that money for you. Audrey, what are you going to do today?
I think we're doing our Roman town today. Can you please try to see it? It's from 2:30 to 3 o'clock, I think.
Babe, I don't know that I can do that. I've got three people I've got to see today, and I don't know that I can see your Roman town.
Can you please just try?
Okay, I will do the best I can. If one of them cancels, I promise you that I will be there, all right?
Okay. Hey, Dad?
Yes, Audrey?
Can you play Speak Life?
Yes, I can play Speak Life, except for, hold on here, let me see if I got it here. Hey, Siri. Well, Audrey, she's in a foul mood right now. I can't do it.
No.
Sorry about that. Hey, we're almost here. Here's the church there. All right, are you girls ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Can we watch a horrible history video first?
Baby, we don't have time to watch a horrible history. I got to get you to church.
We watched it at this time yesterday.
It's a very valid point, but we have to do this first. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Today?
Today.
It's going to be?
It's going to be a great day.
A what, Maddie?
A great day.
A great day. This is the day?
This is the day.
That the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
And be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
All right. Are you ready for some more? Yes, go ahead. Sing your song.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and be glad in it, for this is the day, for this is the day that the Lord has made.
Good job. All right. Today, Maddie, today, I will be the best Maddie. I can be. I will be the best Audrey.
I will be the best Audrey.
I can be.
I can be.
Today.
I can be.
I will be respectful.
I will be respectful.
To those who are around me.
To those who are around me.
Including.
Including myself. Including myself.
I will say yes, sir.
I will say yes, sir.
I will say no, sir.
I will say no, sir.
I will say yes, ma'am.
I will say yes, ma'am.
I will say no, ma'am.
I will say no, ma'am.
I will be a positive influence. To those who are around me.
To those who are around me.
And I'll be the best.
And I'll be the best.
I can be.
I can be.
All right, we're.
Wait.
Yes?
Today?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Today, good things may happen.
Good things may happen.
Bad things may happen.
Bad things may happen.
But I get to have the choice of how I respond to them.
All right, girls, we're almost here. There is?
There is?
Maddie?
There is?
One God.
One God.
He has always existed.
He has always existed.
He clothed himself in flesh?
He clothed himself in flesh.
By being born of a virgin?
By being born of a virgin.
He died on the cross?
He died on the cross for my sin.
Ascended into heaven?
No, Dad, you got that wrong. You forgot something.
Oh, sorry. He rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead on the third day.
Ascended into heaven.
Ascended into heaven.
And sent forth.
And sent forth his own spirit to live inside of me.
And that one God is Jesus.
Good job. All right. Hey, we're here and I got some bad news for you.
Dad, you forgot to pray for us.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Thank you, Jesus, for Audrey and for Maddie, helping to have a great day, to be the best that they can be. To live a life that's pleasing to you and that's right before you, I ask that you would anoint them, that they be a positive influence to people who are around them, that they would be respectful to their teachers and to the students who are around them. In Jesus' name, amen. But we're here. I have some bad news.
Oh, dang it. I know what the bad news is. We missed the drop-off pickup line again.
Yep. All right, Maddie, here. Hey, I have a question for you before we go. What's the largest planet in the solar system?
Are you serious, Dad? I'm only five.
Hey.
Very good. What an energetic dad he is. This time, we're going to have three people come. Back to back, and they're going to give a tribute to their dad on Father's Day and talk about how that their dad is a kingdom dad. These dads that are coming were not chosen by Brother Luke Levine or by Pastor Williford. They were chosen by me. It just so happens that Zion is coming, and then Jim Crum, and then Andrea Williford. So we're going to enjoy their tributes to their dads this morning. Zion, where are you? Yes, come.
Hello, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the dads here this morning. Today, I want to talk about my dad and how special he is to me. I feel blessed that I have a great dad that takes care of me. He not only takes care of me, but he also teaches me and my brother and sister about the kingdom of God. One of the ways my dad teaches me about God's kingdom is by showing me how to put the kingdom first. Luke 12:31 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Many times my dad has left our home after dinner to go and teach him Bible study. Even though I miss him when he leaves, I realize it's important for people to know about God. My dad also teaches me to put the kingdom first when he takes me to all church prayer and pre-service prayer. He is also faithful in giving to She's for Christ and encouraged me to do it last year to raise my own money for SFC. So I raise money by selling drinks at a garage sale. Secondly, my dad teaches me about God's kingdom is when he puts our family first. 2 years ago, he was leading the largest youth on missions trip to Alaska. He has always wanted to go to Alaska since he was a little boy and was very excited about this trip. In the meantime, I was in Bible quizzing, and little did I know I would get the opportunity to go to Nationals that summer. This was a slight problem because Nationals and the Youth on Mission trip to Alaska was the exact same week. My dad had to choose between me and Alaska. He chose to put family first and go to Nationals that week and cheer me on. Recently, we went on vacation, and my dad took my brother and I fishing. If you know my dad at all, you know that my dad loves to fish. But he made sure that Asher and I would not leave the lake until we caught at least one fish. Never once did he put his own fishing line in the water, even though I knew he wanted to fish himself. He helped us catch 5 fish that day. Another way my dad puts family first is when he volunteers at my school. I know he's busy, but it means a lot to me when I get to see my dad at school and eat lunch with him. Finally, another way my dad teaches me about the kingdom is when he puts others first. I think it's pretty cool that my dad serves as a police chaplain in our community. He helps police officers and citizens when they are in need. I've also seen my dad help people at the airport when they are struggling to put their luggage in the overhead bin or get their luggage off the luggage belt. He's always willing to help no matter how old or young the person might be. Recently, he loaned tools to our neighbor who is fixing up his basement. My dad took the tools over to him and ended up helping our neighbor build a wall real quick. These are just a few examples of how I've seen my dad put others first. I feel incredibly blessed that I have a great dad who loves me very much. He's patient with me and is always encouraging me to do my best. I love spending time with him and laughing at his jokes or silly made-up songs. I hope someday I will be a great dad to my kids like my dad is to me. I love you, Dad, and I wish you a happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all of you gentlemen. I don't know that I can be as eloquent as Brother Zion was. And I told Brother DeLong, I said, an amount of time in 5 minutes will be probably crying as I try to get through this. And I thought about this a little bit. There are many people that I have to thank for shaping my dad into the kingdom man that he was. My grandmother, Georgia Crum, who was a very devout Assembly of God lady, was a strong-willed woman, and she brought a tenacity to him that created a passion for anything that my dad set his mind to. My grandfather's treatment of my grandmother shaped him into the gentleman he was to my mom and shaped his strong work ethic both in the natural and the spiritual sense. Brother E.L. Glenn was their first pastor. He worked diligently with a 15- and 16-year-old so that he could keep them together when times were troublesome for 2 young kids. They were 16 and 17 years old when I was born, so we more or less grew up together. Brother Branding stayed after my dad when we started attending APC in 1957. My dad was raised Assembly of God, and he had the Holy Ghost but had been baptized in the titles, and Brother Branding kept after him. During a Lyndall Krauss revival at 13th and Gravois, the pastor walked down the aisle and he said to my dad, "Son, tonight's the night." And my dad willingly followed. And his influence was tremendous in shaping my dad into the kingdom man that he would become. Thanks to men like Brother Wayne Chambers and Bob Henthorn, Sister Sandy Brady's father. My dad fell in love with service to the King. Brother Wayne's old 49 Chevy Woody Wagon would become the first vehicle involved with Volkswagens, Dodge vans, and eventually converted red and white school buses to follow. Brother Henthorn took us, not him, on Saturday visitation and Wednesday night visitation in his vehicle, an old 54 Ford station wagon. He taught my father a great love for the bus ministry, and my dad went on to teach my Uncle Clyde Holt a love for Sunday school, many others such as me, my brother, Brother David Martin, and others. We were there for it all, and we kids rode along with Mom with a wet washcloth to wipe dirty little faces missed by a still sleeping parent. Dad put the kingdom first, but I have to add, he didn't leave us behind, but made sure that we were right there beside him, and we all learned to love those little bus kids and treat them well because we knew that we would sit next to them at a table in heaven someday. My dad always put the family before himself, and I can remember many a long summer day in a hot plant. He would come home tired. He would pile us kids and Mom in the car. We'd go to Garin, Ohio, to Ingram's one-stop shop for bologna, cheese, bread, and cold Pepsi. And then he'd take us to the airport and sit on Brown Road directly under the flight path of the big jets. We would eat sandwiches and lie on the hood of the car on a blanket, listening to the deafening roar of a jet overhead. Never once did he say, "I'm too tired." I thought a little bit about this, and I changed something after a conversation my wife and I had a couple of days ago. But I now understand I have the shared responsibility of 5 children, 3 in-laws, 3 grandsons. And I now know what those prayers were about when my dad would kneel at night. And the first thing he talked about was his kids. I have 2 young sons preparing for the gospel. I have 4 kids that just came back off of a tiny little boat in the ocean. And believe me, there were a lot of prayers said over these. And then my oldest son, who doesn't walk with the Lord right at the moment, but knows. And I have learned that I have to be the prayer warrior that my dad was for all of my kids. Man, my dad put others before himself. He often said he didn't want a pastor, but just drive the bus. And that he did until he took on a wonderful helper and my other brother, Brother David Martin. Together they made a great team, and my dad essentially gave his life for others. Late 2000, while crossing Compton Avenue, so that he could carry a child that was too young to walk across the street, my dad was hit by a distracted young driver. You see, no child was too small to come to Sunday school and learn about his wonderful Jesus, even if it meant he had to carry them. His thought process center was damaged in that accident, and he almost lost his life. Even then, he had not given enough. The next 3 years were rough as he learned things all over again. For instance, his fascination with an automatic hand dryer even was a sight to behold. I saw him literally cry because my mom said no more riding the Sunday school bus. It was no longer safe because Dad had to drive and David couldn't keep a constant watch on him. He had lost all safety consciousness and he would do very dangerous things, such as walk right in front of a vehicle without thinking about it. I decided then and there, though I'd given up bus driving years before, that at any cost to me, my dad was going to be back on that bus as long as possible, and ride we did. My dad picked up a family named Cooper on visitation. He carried the small ones to the bus many times, Parker, James, Tina, Yolanda, and Geraldine. And later, Sister Diane Cole would join the family at APC. He stayed after their mother about coming with the kids, and eventually Mama Cooper, yes, the one who tore up many a service at 13th and Gravois, started coming with the kids. In January of 2003, I watched at his memorial service as the Cooper family sang. The old rope, the Ray Bolt song, Thanks for Giving to the Lord. Many know the words go on to say, I was a life that was changed. And I too must sing that song when I think of him. My life was changed forever because he introduced me to a Jesus at a young age. I don't believe in all of his years I ever heard him raise his voice, but he was a gentle giant among men. And I am so thankful that God blessed me with the mother and father that he did, and that my grandparents on both sides of the family were devoted to him. I have no idea why God chose our family, but I am thankful that I had a father that taught me what Jesus was all about. Thank you and have a great day.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm a little nervous. I apologize. I have been asked to speak today about my father. And in thinking about my father, there are many things that I could say. There are funny things. There are serious things. I am going to talk on the serious side today. I just kind of going to take the acronym DAD and use a few words to describe my dad. The first is devoted. When I think of my father, I think of devotion. From being a child till now, I can remember getting up in the morning for school, mom getting us up, getting ready, and walking in for breakfast, eating breakfast, dad finishing up his morning routine, and coming in, and we all knelt down at the couch before leaving for school to pray. He always made sure on the way to school that we talked about the things of God or how our day would go, but he always made sure that God was first in our day, putting God first by praying as a family, and I'm thankful for that. Also, he is devoted to his church. He puts this church first, God first, and this church and his family, and I'm thankful for that. I can recall many times on vacation where my dad has left and come home to be alongside of a family who needed him. And I am thankful for that example. He has led and shown us, as my sisters, that we have to be servants. He is a servant at all costs, no matter what. If it's the middle of the night, I can recall the middle of the night, we had an alarm in our house, and it was set. He always set it before we went to bed. And I remember at 2 o'clock in the morning him getting a hospital call and forgetting the alarm was on. And the box is in my room, so it's making woo, woo, woo. And I jumped out of bed. I was like, what's going on? I thought there was an intruder. And mom said, no, it's just dad. He's got to go to the hospital. Go pray for somebody. It's times like that that I will never forget, or memories of him taking us girls on Saturdays so mom could have a mom day. He would take us to the park, which was very conveniently close to White Castle. And on the corner of the street was a man selling Gus's pretzels. And we would get Gus's pretzels, and we would go home. And my mom would say, where have you all been? I know you went to the park, but that smell. She did not like White Castle. And those pretzels, did you get them from the man on the corner? Why are you, babe, why are you buying pretzels from the man on the corner? You don't know. I mean, he's standing on the corner selling pretzels. But I'm still here today, so it's all good. It's all good. We survived. Another thing when I think of about my dad is he is always there. He's there for many of you when you're going through hard times. He's been there for me in the last several years and throughout my life with good, solid advice. And when I asked my sisters one thing that they would like to chime in, since they are not here, both of them said good, solid advice. When I asked Amber what she would like to say, she said, oh, did you see what I posted today about Dad? You could throw that in there. I said, wait a minute. They asked me to speak, not you. So, you know, if it's out there on Facebook, if you want to see it, she did post something really good about my father today. Okay. It will speak for itself. Okay. But no, more serious. He is always there, and I appreciate that, not only for our family, but for this church. I have seen my father many times come to us over the years and ask our opinion on things when it regarded the church or the district, but he always wanted to make sure that there was a good balance between family, church, district, whatever he was doing for the kingdom of God. But most importantly, he taught us a love for the kingdom of God and how to be involved in the kingdom of God at all costs. It doesn't matter what kind of degree you have, how much knowledge you have. What matters is putting God and his kingdom first. And he has taught and led that by example over the years. He is very dedicated. What you see, he's real. What you see with my father is what you get. And I appreciate that about him. That is one of the traits that I hope to be able to someday pass down. In thinking about my dad, I also think about some qualities that I have gained from him. One of them is being on time. I love being on time. As you, most of you know, my dad is an on-time person. He also loves his food. He will, at some point, preach about food. I remember on vacations, going on vacation, my dad, 2 weeks prior, would say, okay, now, girls, we're going to all pack the suitcase. You can all pack in one suitcase. You can pack two skirts and three shirts and, you know, wear the same skirt and bring a few shirts, but you'll all pack in the same suitcase. And now here's a map, a road map. He'd go to AAA and get a draw. Now, we can look along the way and see where we want to go eat. We can figure out where we want to stop. And I'm like, Dad, can we just not think about it along the way? And just when we feel like eating, we stop and eat. No, we had to plan this out. One thing I will say about my father on vacations, we would always leave on Sunday night after church. We never left on a Sunday morning. Very rarely can I remember. Dad always had to be at church, preaching, teaching, whatever he was doing, Bible class. He always had to be at church. Then we would get in the car Sunday night after church and drive 17 hours straight through to North Carolina. But that was Dad, always putting the church and the kingdom first. And I also want to give honor to my grandpa and my heritage. If it was not for him and his example, my dad would not be what he is today. He has passed that legacy down to my dad, and my dad is passing that down to us. Dad, I love you. I appreciate your example and the heritage and the life that you have led before me. I love you.
Amen. And thank you, Sister Andrea and Brother Crum and Zion. Thank you for those kind words. Wasn't that wonderful tributes to fathers? And I think this would be a good time to honor the, I guess it would be okay, appropriate to call him the spiritual father of this church and our leader who we just heard spoke about. We love and we are so grateful for the example of our dear pastor. We love you, Pastor, and we thank God for your leadership. We thank God for your influence. Could be seated for just a moment. I was asked to make some remarks at the close of this service today, and so today we simply honor dads, we honor fathers, we honor kingdom men. And at the close of this service, I come to simply tell you that your contributions matter to this church. Your contributions matter to your family. Your contributions matter to the kingdom of God, and they matter to our world. Amen. That drive, that desire within men, that unquenchable spirit, that courage, that determination. We are not only leading our immediate families, but we are leading the next generation of the kingdom of God. I think we could all agree that our society is in rough shape. Our world is in rough shape. And if you look around, you don't have to look very far to see that the role of the father has been so severely battered and diminished in society. You just turn on just about any Hollywood show or movie and you see a pretty consistent pattern of fathers portrayed as bumbling men and, you know, imbeciles and guys who can't figure things out and guys who can't get their act together. And I do think that that current is very strong, not only in Hollywood, but in our world. But we rise today to say that godly men are what this world needs. And godly men matter to the kingdom, and godly men matter to our world. In fact, I was going through some statistics in preparation for this portion of the service, and I just too many to mention, but they trace everything from alcoholism and drug abuse and teen pregnancy and incarceration and criminal acts. All of these things are there's such a significant increase in their percentage when you look at the life of someone who is fatherless. That lets us know that men matter to the kingdom of God. Men matter to their families. One striking statistic that I came across from a church research study that I'll share with you is that when a child leads the way to commitment to God, in other words, through a bus ministry or a Sunday school ministry, when a child is saved, and only a child is saved, there is only a 3.5% chance of that child's family ever coming to salvation. When a woman or a mother is saved, and that woman or that mother leads the way into the church, there is a 17% chance of the families following. But when a man or a father leads the way in commitment, when he is the first one won to the Lord in a family, when he is the first one to make a commitment to a local church, 93% of the time, the family will follow. Men, you matter. Fathers, you matter. You play a role that you may not even realize you play. And our world needs you. This church needs men that pray. Men that know how to intercede. Men that know how to worship. Men that know how to sacrifice and give and stand in the gap and give examples of integrity and righteousness and faithfulness. Men who will demonstrate what being a kingdom man is all about. It's interesting when you look at Jewish culture that was played out in Scripture. It was not just the biological father, the biological dad that was considered to occupy the role of fatherhood. But actually, in Jewish culture, it was any man who had a long-lasting and consistent influence on the life of a child. Any man who had an ongoing impact. And we've heard even here today reference some men in the church. Brother Crum, you mentioned it while you were speaking. Other men in the church who influenced your father and also influenced you. They may not have been a biological father, but they were fathers, if you will, in the gospel. They were fathers in the kingdom. This is what I think Paul was referencing when he said in Corinthians, he said, you have 10,000 instructors or 10,000 schoolmasters is that word there, but you don't have many fathers. I thank God today. I'm here today because of men in the church. I'm here today because of men that I was able to look to who walked with God, who had a relationship with God, who had an experience with God that I was able to watch, that I was able to pattern my life after. And many of you know my story, but I never knew my biological father. In fact, I never met him, never even knew his name. Don't know the first thing about him. Stepfather came into my life for a short few years of my early childhood, but was very distant, uninvolved, was gone for months at a time on his job. And as a young boy, I craved that influence of a father in my life. But I thank God that there were men in the church that even as a boy, I was watching them. They had no idea I was watching them, but I was watching how they treated their wife. I was watching how they treated the presence of God. I was watching how they interacted with their children. And I was learning from those men. Can I tell you, at 38 years old, going on 39, I'm still learning from men in this church. I'm still watching you. I'm still patterning my life, my fatherhood after you. And the reality is there are others that are watching you. Even young men and women who have parents and good Christian parents in the home. The reality is that every one of us, if I asked you to lift your hand, every one of us could tell of men and women in the church that have influenced you but are not blood relations to you. Can't you? Every one of us can think of godly men. In fact, let's just do it by a show of hands. How many can think of one or two or three or maybe more godly men that carry an ongoing influence in your life that are not related to you? Look at this. Look at this. What does that tell us? That tells us that men, your example matters. You never know what little eyes are watching you. And so Paul says there's 10,000 instructors. In other words, there's an endless supply of people in life that are going to tell you what to do. You're going to have bosses at work. You're going to have teachers at school. You're going to have people who give you instruction at different points along the way. But if you find someone that you can look to on an ongoing basis, that you can pattern your life after, that you can watch their walk with God, that you can look at how they pray, pattern your life after those men. And then Paul wrapped it up by saying, imitate me. It's okay, follow after me. So I close with this question today. Men, are you giving the next generation something to imitate? Are you giving them something to follow after? I'm going to ask that everyone would stand here this morning. And we're going to close this service with a time of prayer, but not just any time of prayer. I've been asked to, at the close of this service, to lead a special time of prayer emphasizing our fathers. And not just our fathers, but emphasizing our men in the church. We need to hold our men up in prayer. We need to hold our men up as they take the lead in the home, as the priest of their home, and as they take the lead in the church. And God willing, they take the lead in society. So I'm going to ask first that every father, every dad that's here today, that you would come and stand around the front of this sanctuary. Every dad would come and stand. If you've got an infant child, would like to bring them, just bring them right along. That every dad would come and stand across this front, that you would face the congregation as you get here. Let's give these dads a hand as they come. That's it, dads. Just come in and face the congregation as you come in. Just gather in all across this front. Look at this. Brother Buddy, I hope we have enough gifts for all of these dads. There's a lot of dads here. While society and culture may be minimizing the role of these that are standing at the front of this sanctuary, today we celebrate you, dads. We honor you and we pray for you. And now I'm going to ask that everybody else in the congregation that would, I'm going to ask that the other men in the congregation, young and old alike, I don't care if you're a child or an elder, men, young and old alike, that the men would lead the way, that you would step out of where you're at, you would join us down here. Those of you that are not fathers, if you would come, and we're going to have a time of prayer for these fathers at the front. So young men, would you lead the way, and other young men, or in every section, our outlet student ministry, you young men, come lead the way. And then as these young men lead the way, I'm going to ask that everybody else in the church would come. Mothers, you can come, and women, you can come, and we're going to take a time here at the close of this service to extend a hand and a voice of prayer for our fathers. Come on, would you come? Would everybody come and just gather around these men that are here, these fathers that are here? Here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would give our fathers strength, spiritually and physically, that he would give them wisdom, that he would give them direction, and that he would lead them and guide them by his Spirit. Fathers, you can reach over and pray with one another. And you ladies and you young men that are gathered in, would you just find a father to lay hands on and begin to pray with them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now. By by your power and by your spirit. God, we pray that you would touch every man that is present. God, that you would minister to every father that is here. Lord, we pray for every father represented at this altar today. Lord, that you would give them strength. God, that you would be with them, that you would be over them, Lord, that you would lead them and that you would guide them. God, we pray your anointing upon them, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you would give them a fresh and a new experience with you. God, we pray right now that you would give them your wisdom, your holy wisdom, that you would give them your divine direction. Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit, God, that you would protect them, that you would give them strength, that you would give them spiritual strength. Lord, that you would give them physical strength. Lord, we pray for these great dads, these great fathers, Lord, and we pray, God, that those that are maybe down, Lord, that you would be the lifter up of their head, that you would encourage them and strengthen them, that you would give them guidance as they lead their family. God, that you would strengthen their influence. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for your Spirit and we thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name. And now, fathers, would you reach right back across? We need your influence. And I'm praying that, fathers, you would take a step forward. Some of you would even step into these aisles. I'm asking that every father in this church, every dad in this church, would find somebody to lay hands on and pray that something would transfer from you to someone else. If you even want to move into the aisle, some of you dads, just take the lead. Move into some of the aisle. You can pray for your biological family, or you can pray for others that are here. Would you just find somebody to pray with for a few moments? Let's lift our voices in prayer right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Lift your voice in prayer right now. Lord, I pray right now that there would be something that would transfer, Lord, from the men of this church, God, to the next generation. Lord, I pray that there would be something that would transfer. Hallelujah. That's it. Pray. Let God minister to someone through